Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن سعيكم لشتى فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى صدق الله ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين. My dear respected ulama, elders, brothers and sisters, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Rabb, our Master. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Razik, our Sustainer. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sustains each and everything in the heavens and the earth. Whether those things may be large, or they may be small, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sustains each and everything, as the Quran tells us. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. And there is no creature that is on the earth excepting that is upon Allah to sustain them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَرْزُقُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. He sustains whomsoever He wants. And He gives freely whomsoever He wants. وَيَقْدِرُ. And He holds back for whomsoever He wants. This is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us that we are from this ummah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are Muslims, that we are the follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best of all guides. And as believers, we must understand and we must know, and we must also practice that upon all conditions, we must never ever turn towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At all conditions and in all times, we must adhere and we must stick to those things that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we must never go towards ma'asi and sinning. In one narration, which is found in Bayhaqi, it is mentioned that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِنَّ رُوحَ الْأَمِينَ نَفَثَ فِي رُوحِي أَنَّ نَفْسًا لَنْ تَمُوتَ حَتَّى اسْتَكْمَلَ رِزْقَهَا. That certainly, a ruhul amin, the trustworthy ruh, referring to Jibreel alayhi salam, and in one narration it is mentioned a ruhul qudus, the sanctified ruh, referring to Jibreel alayhi salam, he came and he blew into me. He blew into my heart, and what is it that was blown? Anna nafsan, that certainly a soul, lan tamuta, it will never die, hatta stakmala rizqaha, until it completes whatever rizq is there for that soul, until it consumes everything, and the rizq that has been written for a soul have become exhausted, and when there is no more rizq for a soul, then a person, he passes away. a person dies. And then the hadith continues, Allah, behold, certainly, fattakullah, wajmalu fi talab, fear Allah, and make good your seeking, your actions, the doing of good things, make good that which you are seeking, do it in a good manner. وَلَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ إِسْتِبْطَاءُ الرِّزْقِ أَنْ تَطْلُبُوهُ بِمَعَاصِ اللَّهِ. And do not allow the greed of risk and the delaying of risk. That is, you are waiting for some risk to come, and perhaps a person might not be contented at his present time, so he is waiting and he is making a lot of effort, hoping that there will be more sustenance that will be coming his way, and as a result, it is keeping him back from doing of good actions. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, وَلَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ إِسْتِبْطَاءُ رِزْقِ أَنْ تَطْلُبُوهُ بِمَعَاصِ اللَّهِ. Do not let that delaying of the risk or that greed for that risk cause that you seek it by means of ma'asi, by means of sinning. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُدْرِكُ مَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِطَاعَتِهِ. For certainly, one would not be able to catch that which is with Allah except by his obedience to him. Now this hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us a very great lesson. And that is, in our own application, we see that sometimes we are making effort in this dunya and we feel that ends cannot meet. Things are difficult. We have to build a house. Problems with food in the home. We see that in our times especially, there is an impending, you know, sort of world shortage of food, etc. And people sometimes, they think that the way to achieve some sustenance and some food, some goodness, is by means of seeking it from haram means. Perhaps stealing from someone. Perhaps when I'm usurping the wealth of someone, going into a person's land and stealing all of his property which he have worked very hard for, you know. And sometimes you feel that the discontinuation of difficulties, it will not stop. And as such, a person will resort to haram means, going and engaging in riba, going and engaging in lotto and playway, try to win some stake in that manner, and try to gain wealth quickly. When really and truly, a person will not be able to achieve anything except that which is written for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already made and decided and decreed what a person would achieve in his dunya as regarding his risk and his sustenance. When a person was in the womb of the mother, after 4 months the angel came, and that angel was commanded to write how much risk he would get in this world. So much so when that risk is finished, there will be nothing for him again, and death will overcome him. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, it is therefore important for us to understand that really and truly, Allah, he is our sustainer. It is not the paycheck at the end of the month. It is not the actual food that is in the land. It is not the food that is in the plate. But it is Allah who is sustaining us. He is the sole supplier and razik of each and everything. We need to understand this and believe this firmly. Because many a times, we put all our tawakkul and all our trust in the medicine that we take, and we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives cure. And perhaps one time we went by the doctor and we make dua at the same time that, oh Allah, you give me cure from this. But the second time, we don't make no dua, we just go and buy the medicine and use it. When we are hungry, we turn towards the food. We turn towards getting a salary at the end of the month to buy your, you know, whatever food supply, whatever. Understand well that the first and foremost thing that we must understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a raziq. He is the one who sustains. And this is as regarding our aqidah and our belief, and as such our action, it should be surrounding this at the same time. Now this in no way should lead a person towards negligence of hukuk and negligence of rights. Because a person might say, okay, if Allah is the one who sustains, and he is the one who is going to sustain me, and he is the one who is going to sustain my family, and he is the one who is going to take care of everything, which is our iman that Allah is the one who controls each and everything, then it becomes negligence. And you say, okay, if that's the case, I will just do a few little things and do a little a'mal, and then that's the end of it. I would not go and make an effort. I would not go and do good actions. I would not go in the land and plant something. I would not go to work, because that has already been prepared. That has already been prepared. We must understand that Allah has made a system for everything. And just as He has made a system, the rotation of the sun and the moon, etc., of the universe, a system has been placed for us as human beings as well. It's for this reason that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a targhib, an encouragement, that the best earning a person can have is that which is halal, the earnings of his own hand. Why is that? Because it is necessary that a person must make effort at the same time. And the Quran speaks of efforts. It speaks of different directions of efforts. In the verse which I read in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Inna sa'yakum lashatta. Verily, your sa'y, your efforts, they are diverse. They are diverse. We wake up in the morning, and then we start to move in different directions. One is changing to go to school, another is going to work, another is going to the field, some would go to the masjid, and we are diverse in our different actions. The Quran is telling us, Inna sa'yakum lashatta. Verily your efforts, they are diverse. But then He directs us to two main parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. As regarding that one who obeys, and فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى, and he inculcates taqwa into his life, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and he testifies towards the truthfulness of Islam, al-husna, that which is the best, which is the deen of Islam. Then what about him? فَسَنُوا يَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. We will make it easy for him to a place of ease. We will make it easy for him to a place of ease. Now, this easiness that is being referred here to could be an easiness in this world. That a person now who chooses and he makes his effort along that line which is halal. Going out to the fields, it is permissible. Going and doing work, it is permissible. Having one's business, it is permissible. But when it is done in a halal manner, so a person engages in things which is permissible, and he engages in those efforts which are, you know, allowed in the deen and the sharia. Therefore, when a person would do something like that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would, you know, give him a way towards easiness. It would make him easy for him in this world, but of utmost importance is that he does not neglect his duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes the necessary effort towards the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah, in inculcating of taqwa, and in obedience and piety. And he gives from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he would make a path easy for him to achieve. Or it could be in reference to that of the hereafter. That when a person passes away, Allah will make his hereafter easy for him, and that the grave would be easy, on the day of Qiyamah it will be easy, and then he will be sent to the place of Jannah, which is an easy and blessed place for him. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mentions of those who disobey him. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. And as regarding those who are stingy, now in the previous verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى, that person who gives. Now the meaning of أَعْطَى is give, the person who gives. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ, as regarding those who are stingy. Allah has bestowed wealth upon them. He has given them many things, property, different things of his risk. But he is stingy with the thinking that he is independent. Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى, and whosoever is stingy, and he considers himself to be independent, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and he denies that which is the best. He denies Islam. Then what about this person? Allah says, فَسَنُوا يَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. We will make it easy towards difficulty for him. In other words, in this dunya, it may be difficult for him in that he can have whatever he wants, but yet he don't have contentment of heart. He still wants more. There are millions, there are houses, there are vehicles, there is property. But yet he is not contented with that which he have. There is greed and avarice in him. that he wants more and wants more, and this really is poverty. And he is making all out effort day and night to achieve more of this world. That is actually a condition of difficulty that he is facing. Because to him, he is poor, he needs more. And he considers himself to be independent, that he is not in need of anyone. He is not in need of Allah. He is not in need of the help from anyone. He considers himself to be independent of anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that person, that he will make it difficult for him. In this dunya, and in the hereafter of his surety, that person in the grave, it will be difficult. On the day of Qiyamah, it will be difficult. And then he will be sent to a place of difficulty, which is the Jahannam. But what we must do as believers? As believers, we need to make effort in the things which are our hukuk and our rights. We need to fulfill our responsibilities. Hukukullah and hukukul ibad. The rights of Allah and the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are family. Our body have certain rights. And as such, it would require effort on our part. We need to make some movement. We need to make effort for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make effort in achieving things. Now we must understand that the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has blessed them, that they were amongst, you know, the best of all eras. And no one would dispute their taqwa. No one would dispute their tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their trust that they would have upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, they will still go to the fields. They will still go and plant. They will still rear animal. You will find that they're still going to the marketplace. When Hazrat Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, when he became the caliph, the next day he was seen in the marketplace selling. Then the other companions asked him, "Abu Bakr, you have to take care of the affairs of the believers now. What is it that you are doing here?" He mentioned to them that it is necessary for him to seek a livelihood at the same time. Could we dispute the tawakkul and the trust that Hazrat Abu Bakr had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Many a times a person thinks that all you need to do is to make dhikr. And really and truly, Allah is the one who can provide. He can give whomsoever he wants freely with whatever that person would have done. He calls the name of Allah and Allah can provide. That is the will of Allah. He can give to whomsoever he wants of his awliya, whatever he wants to whatever proportion he wants, without them actually going and making an effort. But yet, the system that he has placed is that we need to make an effort towards fulfilling our hukuk and our rights at the same time. We need to go out there, do some work, find some employment, business, whatever have you. This is the system that we have been made with. So therefore, Hazrat Abu Bakr, he was seen in a marketplace selling after he became a caliph. And we have been told that he would be the first person to enter into Jannah after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Did he not have tawakkul in Allah? But yet he was making effort. He was selling. Hazrat Umar, radhiyallahu anhu, could we dispute the tawakkul and the trust that he had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the iman that he had in Allah? But yet, Hazrat Umar, at the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in partnership with an Ansari. And as such, he would go and work one day in the fields. The Ansari will stay with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would hear whatever has to be said, whatever discourses the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give. And then at night, he would inform Hazrat Umar. And on the next day, Hazrat Umar would go to with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Ansari will work. And he will take care of whatever property and land or crops or whatever it may be. And then at night, again, they would share whatever was learned. So what it teaches us here again, that they, you know, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Abu Bakr, they were making effort for certain livelihood of this world. And this we see that, you know, there's a type of laziness that has developed amongst people nowadays. Things are easy. Things are easy for us. Sometimes a person is laid off from his job, and he thinks that the end of it. He is not going, he don't want to make an effort to go and do, you know, hard labor, thinking that that is something which is belittling him, but rather he will stay home and do nothing, and expect that at the end of the month, someone will come and give him a handout. Make some effort. Do something. Allah will provide. He is the Razik. He is the one who will provide. But we need to make a little effort on our part at the same time. If sometimes a person The only thing that he is working is his finger on the remote control. Because he don't have no job, or it's not a good time for him, and things are bad, so therefore he's staying at home and watching TV all day. And that is the only effort that he is making. Eating and drinking, becoming a couch potato, looking at television all day, and not doing anything for his own betterment and for his family. We have developed into a type of laziness, and this lackadaisical attitude has now permeated in the life of the Muslim, when there should not be a time that we are bored. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest of names. We could call the name of Allah. We could do the dhikr. We could read Quran. We could read salah. But besides our ibadah, we can take our ibadah to the fields. Who say that we cannot say subhanallah while we are digging the fork, or while we are cleaning a drain, or whilst we are engaged in some job? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do our part. And we have seen this now in the history of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the previous times as well. Let's look at a few examples. First of all, the mother of Musa alayhi salam. We know that she was in such a time that Fir'aun was killing all of the children. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبَنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مُبِينٌ. The Quran tells us that he was slaughtering your sons, and that he was allowing a woman to go freely, and that was indeed a clear trial. So she was undergoing that trial because at that time she became pregnant for Musa alayhi salam. It was a difficult situation. And Fir'aun had given orders to his soldiers, look out for any of those women from Bani Israel who are pregnant. And as soon as the child is born, if that child is a boy, then kill him immediately. A mother, fearing this for her child, it is definitely something of a great test and a great calamity for anyone. The mother of Musa, she got pregnant, and she was hiding her pregnancy, not going out much, moving more in the night, etc. Until when the child was born. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knew that this child would be a great prophet. And he told the mother of Musa that she should do her part. What was the part that she must do? Because if it is that the child cries now, then they will definitely, it will alert the soldiers, and they will come and they will say it's a boy, and then they will kill the child. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants her to do her part. She must make the necessary effort in trying to save or to deal with the condition. She must make the necessary effort. What was this effort? The Quran informs us, وَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَرُضِعِيهِ, that we reveal and we inspire the mother of Musa that she should nurse him, feed him. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَالْقِهِ فِي الْيَمْ. Then when you fear for him and fear for his safety, then throw him in the river. Throw him in the Nile. Would any of us take a newborn baby and throw him in the Nile? Or let's say put him in a box, because that is what she had, a box. And in Tafsir ibn Kathir it is mentioned that she used to live close to the bank of the river Nile. So what she would do is tie a rope to the box and then to some part of her home or something, a stump. And she would allow the child to be in the river. And then at night she would join the child when she considered it to be safe. And on one such occasion, that rope was unloose. But Dr. Tafsir mentioned that, you know, it was, she took the child, put him in a box, and then placed him in the river, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. But the point is that the river was a very, you know, it had a lot of current, very difficult even for swimmers to swim in the Nile River. And at that time, Allah is commanding her to take this child and throw him into the river, to put him in the river. It's like taking out something from the pot and throwing it in the fire. Because in one case there is danger, in another case there is another danger as well, even greater danger. Now, my dear respected brothers and sisters, when we consider this, we see that she did her part. What was her part? She fed the child. She did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. She took him, put him in a box, whatever, put him into the river. She did her part. And then what she did? She put her tawakkul and her trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She put her trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then saved Musa alayhi salam. As he mentioned, you know, وَلَا تَخَافِ وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Do not fear and do not grieve after that. إِنَّ رَادُهُ إِلَيْكَ. وَجَعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ Certainly we'll return him back to you and we'll make him from among the Mursaleen. So we see here that the effort was required on her part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then brought back Musa alayhi salam to her, she fed him, and he grew into a prophet. Another such example is that of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, she, as we know, is one of those women that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned to be the best, four best women. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose her to be the mother of Isa alayhi salam, great prophet of Allah from Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul. The Quran recalls her effort and her part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَحَمَلَتْهُ فَانْتَبَذَتْهُ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَسِيًّا. That she became pregnant with Isa alayhi salam, and then she betook herself to a distant place. She got pregnant, the people started to condemn and tell her all sort of things. So she left. She went someplace, according to some tafsir, Baitul Laham, someplace she went towards Egypt. But she left Jerusalem. But then, as every pregnant woman undergoes that labor, the labor pain came upon her. She was by herself. No one to give her eyes, no one to hold her hand, no one to bring water, nothing. She was by herself, and this is a difficult time for a woman. People faint away. You know, women experience all sort of difficulties at the time of labor. So like that, Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, she started to experience the labor pain, as the Quran says, فَأَجَاهَا الْمَخَضُ إِلَىٰ جِذْءِ نَقْلَىٰ. So the pains of labor, it drove her towards the trunk of the date palm. قَالَتْ. And she was in such a situation that she was saying, مِتْتُ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيَ مَنْسِيَا. Had I only died before this, and that I could have become just something forgotten. She was upon such a situation of difficulty that she was even saying that even if I had died, it would have become better than the situation that I am in. Sometimes we also face difficult situation. Sometimes we are in these type of distresses. Sometimes for ourselves, sometimes for others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, of course, wanted her to do her part. She is carrying one of his great messengers, but he wants her to do her part. He wants her to make some effort. What was the command that he gave to her? وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِزْءِ نَخْلَةِ تُسَاقِدْ عَلَيْكِ رَتَبًا جَنِيًّا. What you must do, Maryam alayhi salam, you shake the date palm tree. And when you shake the date palm tree, you would cause to fall upon yourself ripe dates. Now the date palm tree, the bottom of it, the trunk of it is very fat, and then it thins up as it goes up to the, you know, to the date palm itself. And in the shaking of a date palm tree to such an extent that it will cause the date to fall, you need a few good strong men to shake that, to cause that date to fall. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted from her was to make some effort. He wanted her to make some effort. So what she did? She is in that condition of labor, wishing these types of things. But she made a little effort to shake. Perhaps it didn't even move. But she did her part. And she put her tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the date to fall for her. And she ate of it. Today, we are in this state of dismay that, and there are so many things that we can do. We have become lazy. We do not want to do our part. Hazrat Hajira, when she was left in Makkah with only some dates and some water, what did she do when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left? Did she say, oh, I am the wife of Khalil. Don't worry, something will come on. Something will happen just now. Some food or something Allah will send down for me. No, she started to run from Safa to Marwa, making some effort. Did she not have tawakkul in Allah? Did she not have belief and iman in Allah? Yes, she did. But she made some effort. And the very thing that she was looking for the one for whom she was looking for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the water to come at the feet of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. So what we have to do as believers, we need to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear him, do our part, do our duties towards him, and make efforts in fulfilling our different hukuk in this world. We need to go out in the land, if it is that we can do agriculture, spend some time. People are saying that difficult times is coming. Okay, that there is shortage of food and whatnot. Are we going to wait and when it comes upon us, you say, okay, the neighbor has something good there, you know? And you're going to thief in from him? or interfering people, then things would become haram even at that time. It would not become permissible now. But what we need to do is do our part, make effort from our time, in our time as well. We need to learn new skills. Nothing wrong with learning a new skill. But do not at any time sacrifice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the acquisition and the possession of things of the dunya. Never should we do that. In the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, related by Hazrat Umar, he tells us what is tawakkul. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرَ. That if only you would put your trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of putting your trust upon Him, then Allah will certainly sustain you just as He sustains the bird. The bird, they don't have no special job. And then it explains to us, تَغْدُو خِمَاسًا وَتَرُوحُ بِتَانَةً. They leave in the morning in such a state that they are hungry, but they return in a state that their bellies are filled. Now, a very important point to note here is that they don't know where their rizq is coming from. So they put their trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But together with that, they did not sit down in the nest and expect the rizq to reach there. Even if it is the will of Allah that He wants to sustain something there, mashallah. Okay? But they would leave in the morning. What would they be doing? Looking for where the rizq is. But then when they return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have caused their bellies to become filled. Today, we need to make effort for our own self, our family, and do not, you know, make complaints, and at the end of it, you know, we're looking for handouts and looking for things. If a person is really in need, mashallah, yaks, seek the support of one another. But when we have the strength and we have the ability, do not become lazy as regarding our deen, because even as regarding those things of sustenance and risk, it is part of our deen that we must seek it from halal means. So I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of us, and that He give us the true meaning of tawakkul in our life. I ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of us in the Jannatul Firdaus wa akhiru da'wan.